Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it.
Mr. Warsh actually shed $14 billion off of the Fed's balance sheet last week. This is a big change from the tens of billions of dollars he's printed since taking the helm of the Fed in late May. His new plan, announced just recently, is to cut the Fed's reserve management purchases to zero. In other words, to stop growing the balance sheet. The Fed is now no longer buying bonds. It is selling assets, and that is a big change. Mr. Warsh printed $55 billion worth of high-powered money from May 22nd, when he took charge of the Fed, through August 12th. And then on August 14th, he stopped buying bonds. This is after Jerome Powell added nearly $200 billion of bank reserves in the final few months of his horrific tenure at the Fed. Talk about a rate of change shock. The Powell QE era, quantitative easing era, has finally ended, and Warsh looks to be, finally, attempting the third iteration of quantitative tightening, or QT. So this begs the question, will markets suffer now that QE has ended and QT has begun? Let's look at the history behind QT's number one and two. During QT number one, the Fed's balance sheet was reduced from $4.4 trillion down to $3.7 trillion, with incredibly bad consequences for most markets. The Federal Reserve's first quantitative tightening program began in October 2017 and ended abruptly by September 2019. It reduced the Fed's balance sheet by roughly $700 billion before all heck broke loose. The repo market went ballistic as overnight secured financing rates spiked from 2% to 10% and even higher. That chaos in money markets sent the stock market plunging 20% by the end, this is the fourth quarter of 2018. During QT number two, the Fed's balance sheet shrank from $8.9 trillion to $6.5 trillion. But this time, the Fed successfully drained roughly $2.4 trillion from its balance sheet between mid-22 and December of 2025. It was a much better outcome than QT number one, at least initially. However, even though there was much less damage done to markets, Mr. Powell had to reverse course by December 2025, and the reason was because bank reserves dropped to their lowest levels since late 2024. That drove intense competition for overnight liquidity among commercial banks. Volatility spiked in money markets, forcing the Fed to formally end quantitative tightening ahead, well ahead of market projections. It was the same dysfunction in credit markets that forced the Fed's hand in both attempts at shrinking the balance sheet. Bond market chaos occurred during QT number two, even though the central bank's balance sheet was $2.1 trillion higher than it was when the first iteration of QT began. But why was QT number one an unmitigated disaster almost right out of the gate, and yet QT two relatively was, you know, kind of quiescent for a much longer duration? The short answer is the massive size of excess bank reserves, as evidenced by the reverse repo facility. This facility represents the amount of excess bank reserves parked at the Fed and earning a risk-free interest rate. During QT number two, the reverse repo facility stood at a whopping $2.2 trillion. This means banks could tap their excess reserves, thus completely offsetting the Fed's quantitative tightening program. During the Fed's first venture into quantitative tightening, the amount of excess bank reserves was a meager $100 billion. So there was a $100 billion amount in the reverse repo facility as compared to $2.2 trillion in the RRP in QT number two. There just wasn't much of a cushion to absorb the outflow of bank reserves. That was the big difference. So where do we stand now? The RRP facility now has just about $1 billion, as opposed to the $2.2 trillion pile of excess reserves enjoyed at the start of the last QT foray. That's huge. Quantitative tightening began with the banks swimming with the trillions of excess bank reserves that were dumped by the Fed in the helicopter money days post-COVID. That was the QT2. However, today those reserves have been exhausted, used to back loans to AI hyperscalers and Wall Street gambling bets. QT3, if indeed there is one happening, will begin cutting reserves immediately. But wait, there's another big piece to this puzzle. The Treasury General Account, or TGA, contains $950 billion, almost $1 trillion. This is a fund owned by the Treasury in case of an emergency. It's excess reserves parked at the Fed. Such as, these emergencies are like when the government's expenses exceed revenue, which is all the time, or when the U.S. hits a debt ceiling limit, which now happens on a regular basis. The next debt ceiling deadlock should occur shortly after March of 2027. So running down the TGA to just a few hundred billion dollars this time around will put the U.S. on the threshold of default. The Treasury must use its reserves stashed at the Fed so that it fulfills its obligations. It's very dangerous to run these reserves down when deficits are this large and with debt ceiling deadlocks always around the corner, the next one coming in less than a year. The problem here is that this fund, the TGA, is now being proposed by Treasury Secretary Bessent, as a means to control long-term interest rates. Hence, it is no longer to be thought of as a reserve account to insure against Treasury defaults, but now will be used as a means to further manipulate markets, which is a temporary and insufficient solution. I'm going to have much more to say on that next week. But back to QT3. It seems obvious to me that the Fed chair and Treasury secretary are at odds. Warsh wants markets to push long-term yields higher. He wants markets to fight inflation. While Bessent wants to drain reserves to buy bonds and push long-term yields lower. Completely opposite tactics. For now, what we know is the Fed has stopped buying bonds. That's what we know. Of course, not buying bonds is not the same as QT, although the Fed is cutting, not only stopped buying bonds, but they are starting to shed some of their assets, mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. However, with the total market cap of equities at 240% of GDP, it takes a continuous amount of new money and credit to keep the bubble from imploding. This is especially true due to the record NYSE margin debt as a percentage of GDP, which is up more than 50% from last year. An over-leveraged stock market is potential energy, which eventually leads to forced panic selling, margin calls. If Mr. Warsh is indeed attempting QT3, it will not take long before the money markets become stressed and the stock market begins its descent. However, the effects may be delayed by the actions of the Treasury. If you are having a headache thinking about how to measure all this liquidity accurately, don't worry. Nobody can. That is why my inflation deflation and economic cycle model focuses on the early warning signs for when this liquidity from all its various sources becomes scarce. Observing the correct credit spreads and financial conditions will tell you when there's a problem before the mainstream financial media has a clue of what's really going on. So, given all that, we continue to hold our nose and stay net long. We own precious metals. We own the miners. We own dividend payers. equal weight S&P 100, healthcare, defense, and a 3% allocation to manage futures as a hedge. You cannot fall asleep holding the traditional 60-40 portfolio. That will never be our strategy here at Pento Portfolio Strategies.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.